Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel, here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Today, my guest is Barbara Ingracia, and I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. But first, I want to take a moment to just thank all of you for spending your valuable time with us here on the show. You do this, you know, each and every week. I love sharing valuable content with you and great guests, and I'm so honored that you're here. Today, I want to give a shout out to my listeners in China. Thank you for listening. Shout out to everyone there. And I'm excited that The Holistic Entrepreneur is now in more than 50 countries across the globe. I just love that. It's so heartwarming for me. Now, I think being a holistic entrepreneur is really a lot of like being a conscious entrepreneur. And maybe that's you. You know, you come from that heart-centered place. You want to make a difference in the world. And so that's why you're listening to the show today. Now, if it's your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another great show today. I always want to remind you that there are links on the show page to my website at bonniegressel.com, also the Facebook group, Entrepreneur Mastery, which is a really active group, and then I also have some sort of free thing or something to share with you often, so look at the show page for those links, and that should take you directly to there. You know, you can find all of the links to wherever this show is promoted on my website at bonniegressel.com. So the links to places like iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher and Spreaker and iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio and Google Play are all there on the website. You just click on the icon and it will take you to your favorite listening station. So maybe you want to share your message with more people. You know, I often hold master classes on podcasting, but maybe you don't want your own podcast. Maybe you just want to be a guest on a podcast. Well, that's available for you too. In fact, I always want to extend an invitation to anyone listening. If they'd like to be a guest on this show, please connect with me at bonniegressel.com and we will chat about it and see if it's a good fit for both of us. Because I would love to help you promote your business or whatever it is that you do, as long as it's a value for this audience. So feel free to reach out to me. Now join me in welcoming our guest for today, Barbara Ingracia. Barbara Ingracia is a certified copyright manager, speaker, and trainer. She has a passion for raising awareness of the role of copyright in our daily lives. As president of Manage Copyright, she helps organizations navigate the copyright law in the digital age by facilitating a review of their public presence, clearing rights, and developing best practices, and training their staff. Ingracia enjoys bringing some fun to a potentially dull topic. Barbara Ingracia comes from an academic library background. She has studied the murkiness of copyright law with the Center for Intellectual Property at the University of Maryland, the Specials Library Association, Duke University, and the Berkman Center at the Harvard Law School. She works with individuals and facilitates workshops for various professional organizations, both virtually and face-to-face. Join me now in welcoming Barbara Ingracia to the summit. Well, welcome, Barb. I am so excited to have you here at Entrepreneur Mastery today. You know, copyright is a topic that we don't talk about a whole lot, and so I'm really excited for our conversation. Now, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story, right? So would you share with us a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to the work that you do today?
Well, thank you so much, Bonnie. Thanks for inviting me to share with your community today. My background was in education and academic libraries. And as content moved from print on paper to online, my work evolved as well. And so instead of just sending off a check for the paper journals, I began negotiating electronic licenses because in effect you're leasing that electronic content. And that rolled over into concern for copyright with the growth of technology, it has become so easy to search, copy, paste, send, and take information because it's so easy to find, the role of copyright has come front and center again. So that's how I evolved.
Okay. Well, you know, copyright is, you know, so many people, I don't think, especially new entrepreneurs, there's so many other things to think about, right? That copyright is not really one of them, typically, you know? And so people, you know, can just, they think, oh, there's all these images on Google and, you know, all this sort of stuff, and I can just use this, but that's not really the case. So would you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what copyright is, what it protects, what you can use, what you can't? And I know it's a huge topic, so let's just kind of get into the surface of it, and then we can get into more detail.
Exactly. We can only about skim the surface today. And the first thing is people often assume that I'm talking about copywriting, W-R-I-T-I-N-G, when in fact I'm talking about copyright, R-I-G-H-T, right. Law. And people assume that because they're not big authors, they're not musicians, why should I even care? And it isn't the most captivating topic until you receive a letter in the mail from an attorney who's not your attorney, informing you that you've used a client's work without permission. You know, stop doing it, but they also ask for money to pay for a retrospective license or damages, or maybe even want to go to court. And those are things that we in small business are not prepared to deal with. You know, it's yikes, where'd that come from? So just as there are consequences for borrowing a car, you know, a physical property without permission from the owner, there are serious consequences for borrowing content without permission from the owner. And that content is considered to be intellectual property. So copyright law is about protecting the rights of the intellectual property owners. And copyright then protects the expression of ideas, not the ideas themselves, but the expression, capturing it in a fixed, tangible form. So, for example, our conversation today is being captured in a fixed, tangible form. But if you and I were just having a conversation over coffee, that probably would not be being captured. And so that wouldn't be protected by copyright. So what is protected? And copyright protects original works of authorship that are fixed in a tangible form of expression. So what the heck does that mean? That makes us think of books, but works of authorship are broader than that. So yes, copyright law protects literary works, and musical works, you know, the composition, the lyrics, we see that in the news quite a bit. Dramatic works, including any music, pantomimes, and choreographic work. But more to our point is protecting photos and paintings, motion pictures and other audiovisual works, sound recordings, even architectural works. So it's much broader than thinking about an author writing a book.
I have a quick question for you, Barbara. Sure. What about the title of the book?
The title usually isn't protected because it's usually short. And so you can have multiple works with the same title. Now that's a little confusing for sure. And the title of the work might be more likely eligible for trademark than copyright. So, but that's a very important point. Not everything is protected by copyright. As I said, things that aren't captured, but also ideas, facts, data, things that are just sort of generally known. The white pages of phone books, when we had phone books, were not protected because they were just a list of names and numbers. Whereas the yellow pages, the advertisements, were more creative, more original, and so then those were protected by copyright. Interestingly, a little side here is the ingredients in a recipe just laid out in the process, those are not protected by copyright because those are facts. Mm. But it's when you talk about, well, my grandmother made these cookies and the kitchen always smelled wonderful and they bring back all these wonderful memories, then that kind of commentary is more creative, is more original, and that's protected by copyright. So those are a couple of confusing areas for people. And the easiest answer to most copyright questions is, it depends.
It depends, yeah, because it's a complex issue.
As in, it's very situationally based, you know, what are the facts, what's going on with this, and so it depends is often the easiest answer, but it's the least welcome.
Okay. So now let me ask you this question. How about, say, a person is starting out with a coaching program or whatever business they're in, and they have, how do they protect their intellectual property, say on their website or whatever? Because, you know, websites are out there for everybody to see, and we hope people see our websites, but you don't want people to steal your stuff either. So how do we as entrepreneurs protect our intellectual property?
Well, that's an excellent point, because we think about, we're worried about that letter coming from an attorney, but we create content, original content as well. The letters, our white papers, our manuals, our articles are our original creative work, our blogs. And the last thing we want to see is our content over on somebody else's page. So we too need to take the opportunity to protect our original work, because it's no longer necessary to include a copyright notice, you know, the C in a circle, and it's not necessary, it's not required anymore to register the work with the U.S. Copyright Office in the case of U.S. law. It all happens automatically now. Yeah. The moment that the expression is fixed, copyright is in place. And so that's very confusing for us, those of us who are used to looking for the C in the circle, or we assume we have to take the effort to register. So the lack of those symbols are not a reliable indication to us of what is copyrighted or not. But I recommend for people to do those steps, to put the C in the circle and the date and the name of the copyright holder. It might be your personal name, it might be your business name. Right. Put that on everything, the bottom of the page of written works, the bottom of the web page. Now, you might be using content from someone else, and that needs to be clearly indicated. Mm-hmm. But we could go down that road later. Yeah. But having that notice should at least alert people. They can't say, oh, I didn't know. And then going ahead and registering with the Copyright Office is quite easy. It's done electronically. It's very inexpensive. And that affords some extra protection. You've got that public, a public record that you have a copyright. And should things go that way, should you need to confront someone who has used your work without your permission, you are entitled to a larger portion of damages. Mm-hmm. So for just a little work, it's really worthwhile. Mm. And again, because as a user, you can't assume that something is not copyrighted. You should assume that it is. And that's the safest way to go. I want to mention what the rights of the copyright owner include.
Okay.
Just as the name implies, copyright, the right to copy or to reproduce the work, to distribute it, to make derivatives of it, to make a screenplay out of a novel or vice versa, or translations or excerpts and build on them, to display publicly or to perform publicly. And then the copyright owner has the right to grant permission to others, often by a license, to exercise any of those rights. So for example, in our conversation today, you are the copyright owner, but you are granting me, through a written document, the right to do certain things mm-hmm. with this conversation. So permission is an important aspect. There are exceptions, but again, it depends. So that it is important to think about these rights. So the fact that it's automatic, you don't have to show anything, you don't have to register anything. And then coupled with the rapid changes in technology, the internet, it's so easy to search, copy, paste, and send without thinking about who might own the rights to that content.
Yeah.
So an awareness of the basics of copyright law really are risk management tools for small businesses.
Can we talk a little bit more about what you just said? I think that's such an important point. The internet and how it's easy to just copy paste something and send it out and all of that. You know, images is one thing that comes to my mind. And is there a difference between using an image and giving, you know, like like saying that where you got this image from, like on Facebook for a like you're not selling something? Is that different than using an image if it's on your website, say, and you don't give the citation and you don't, and it is to maybe make money or whatever? Are there differences there? And I know this is such a complicated issue, but if we could just give some people some little tips to sort of help them as they go forward with their businesses.
Well, content on the internet is protected by copyright law. It seems as if it's floating out there in cyberspace and waiting to be grabbed and used. But that's not the case. It is easy, it is very easy to find pictures that we would like to use, photos. You know, you put in a search and you get hundreds of results. And you focus in on one and say, oh, that one's perfect for what I need. I'm just going to click copy, paste, done. Well, whether that's for marketing materials or a web page or a poster, and really whether it's for profit or not, it's all basically the same. But now that we understand that someone owns the rights to that photo, and you can't just take it and do whatever you want, there are ways to find photos that you can use. But it's important to assume that something is copyright protected, whether it's in print or audio or video or blog or on social media, until you can determine otherwise. And so there are steps to take, but it's much safer to assume that it's copyrighted than to assume that it's not. So images are a particular area that I see, and that people assume that the photographer has put it on there, on the internet, to
be shared. Right, yeah.
And so it might be more of being able to show their work. But
there's still
a difference between being accessible, wanting people to see it, and wanting people to use it. So even giving attribution, even giving credit, is not automatically permission to use. There are some guidelines to follow. But even big companies can make the mistake of grabbing something and using it inappropriately. If you're involved in an advertising campaign, you might have to pull that whole campaign down from online and pull the print as well. Mm. And so just taking a little due diligence, there are ways to look at images to see what the rights are, what the licensing is. And just taking those few extra minutes can save a lot of time and agony and headaches.
So how do you suggest that people check that? Like if, say you find an image online that you want to use in a Facebook post or something like that, is it best to just not use it, contact the site that it's linked to, or, you know, the person if there's a contact information, or, I mean, what's the process? What should people do before they just copy, paste, send?
Well, there is, it's often possible when you pull the photo up to look at the website that it's connected to, mm-hmm. or to scroll down and look for something that might say all rights reserved.
Oh,
or there's something called Creative Commons licensing. Mm-hmm. And that falls between all rights reserved, don't touch it or I'm going to slap you, and public domain, free to use for any purpose. And so in between there, there are ranges of something called Creative Commons licenses. Mm-hmm. Some that are so generous as to say, as long as you give me credit, you can do anything you want with this. You can cut it up, you can reformat it or whatnot. Then it might go to, you can use it as long as you give me credit, but as a whole, you know, don't cut it up. It might be, there might be non-commercial restrictions so that you could use it for, let's say, educational purposes, but not to make money. Or you must share it with the same kind of license that I've put on it, a share-alike license, which gets a little complicated. So you can go all the way from go ahead and use it as long as you give me credit to no derivatives, no commercial work. So when you're searching in creativecommons.org, you can specify what you want to be able to do with the image, with the content. Do you want to be able to use it commercially? Do you want to remix it? And by checking those off, then your search will be limited. So where you might have gotten hundreds and thousands of images originally, it narrows it down to images that you can examine a little more critically and have some confidence in how you can use them. Again, you want to look at what it says there next to the photo, but that does give you a lot more leeway. Of course, shooting your own picture can be a very good option. You have to remember about privacy concerns of who might be in the picture. Mm-hmm. And there are public domain photos, things that are not protected by copyright at all. Many U.S. government works, if they're created by a U.S. government employee, are not protected by copyright. Mm. So there are ways to find things that can be used. And so that's why my motto is manage copyright, don't let it manage you.
Mm.
So you want to protect your work, you want to be protected from charges of infringement, but you don't want to be frozen as if you can't do anything. You know, I'm so afraid I'm not going to do anything. So that's why I say manage copyright. Don't let it manage you.
Oh, I love that, Barb. And you've shared some really, I mean, so many good tips for us. That creativecommons.org site. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to go check that out. And then of course, looking at the public domain stuff. But I think what you just shared really helps people that are just kind of starting out so that they aren't frozen, right?
Right.
And do use some things, but do it with discernment and good, you know, judgment and having that background knowledge. Now, you've shared a lot of things today, and copyright is such a complicated issue. But if people's brains were like really full of stuff today, and there's only one more thing that would fit in that today, what's the most important thing that you want to leave our listeners with today from our conversation?
Well, this may be beating a dead horse, but to assume that something is copyrighted until you can determine otherwise. Mm. Because it used to be easier to tell, mm-hmm. and now it's not. And so taking those few minutes to assume that it's copyrighted, thinking about how important it is to your project, and obviously it's possible to get permission. There are permission granting agencies that you can work through. Sometimes the copyright owner is just ecstatic that they're going to be used and credited, and boom, it's as easy as an email back and forth. Yeah. Sometimes it's more formal. Sometimes there could be money involved. So again, it just depends, but it is possible to seek permission. There are some exceptions that fall under something called fair use, but that's a whole nother topic.
Okay.
And I'm sorry that this is probably making this murkier than it started out, but I do consider copyright to be a gray, murky ooze that's constantly shifting, especially as the technology makes it so much easier to find things. But as it's easy to find things, it's easy to be found using things.
Right.
So I just offer that as a caution. So that's assume it's copyrighted unless you can determine otherwise.
Okay. So now if I was going to refer somebody was maybe just starting out or maybe been in business for a while, but they're struggling with, okay, is this legal? Is this not? What kind of person would that be? And how would it best be to connect with you to have you help them through this murky goo that you talk about?
Right. Well, I'm at managecopyright.com and you can connect with me there. And that I'm sure is at the bottom of this display here for this presentation. What I like to help people do is evaluate or assess their public presence, their public image. Mm. Help them with look at their website. Do you know where this image came from? Do you know where this content came from? Did you purchase the image rights from a stock photo company? We didn't talk about that as an image, licensing through a stock photo company. If so, do you have that license on file? Do you know where to get at it? Then I like to help them develop best practices, things to be watching for, things to think about, to have some procedures, some thoughts in place, much as we have procedures in place for complying with various regulations. Having some best practices in place. They don't have to be really fancy, but at least giving some thought to the process. And then training staff as appropriate. Because again, if they're doing search, copy, paste, send, search, copy, paste, send, one of those search, copy, paste, sends might be a problem. So that's why I like to work with small businesses, large businesses. I work remotely. I work on site. I do everything customized for your needs. The gift that I'm offering today, especially for your community, is a revised edition of the 10 biggest copyright mistakes that small businesses make that could land you in court and how to avoid them. And then added to that is a new checklist for a copyright health appraisal. Is your organization at risk for a copyright crisis?
Mm.
And then I'm happy to offer a 30-minute pick my brain session on any copyright questions you might have. Not a sales conversation, just pick my brain. Again, this would be non-legal advice. This would be information only. And sometimes I might say it depends or I don't know. But I'm happy to offer that opportunity.
Oh, that is such a generous gift. Thank you so much, especially the adding the pick my brain part, because I know there are people out there with tons of questions. So thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and your knowledge and your background with us today, Barb. And thank you for the wonderful gift that you're offering this community.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity to share today.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.